Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you open our eyes and so that we can see the wonderful thing that's written by your servant Paul. And in those days, how you fill him with the Holy Spirit. And I pray that in today's day, you do the same to the one who speak and to those who hear. And help us to see what is written in the gospel, in the Bible. And help us not just be a hearer of your word, and help us to do something, and to learn from it, and to put it into practice, so that we be blessed all the days of our life, not only in the present life, also in the life to come. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I found out the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is very, very important. Help us to understand how do we exercise our gifts. If we do not exercise our gifts, we cannot serve God. But how do we serve God? We use the gifts that Jesus Christ gave to us, and then through that serving, through the ministry, our life will be changed. When our life was changed, and then our ministry will be effective. I want you to write that down, 13, 1 Corinthians 13, 1, 2, 3. You write that down. Talk about the spiritual gifts. When you exercise the spiritual gifts, there's a lot of misunderstanding. But through the teaching of Paul, we know why our ministry is not effective. When people speak in tongues of men, when people speak in tongues of angel, and he thought that when he speak like that, he can speak all kind of languages. And for sure, he think that people will listen to him. And Paul say that, doesn't matter how many languages you can speak, even though you can speak the languages of angel, but if you do not have love, no one will listen to you. Okay? No one will listen to you. And Paul said that if I speak in the tongue of man and of angel, but have no love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. People refuse to listen to you. Doesn't matter how gifted you are, how many languages you can speak, and no one will listen to you. That means your ministry will not be effective without love. So by looking at this, that means we not only pursue the spiritual gifts, we have to pursue what is the most excellent way. In chapter 12, verse 31, the latter part, and now Paul said, I will show you the most excellent way. The most excellent way is to help you to be fruitful in your ministry. To be fruitful in your ministry. When you exercise your gifts, whether it's tongue of man or tongue of angel, you have to exercise with love. Otherwise, no one will listen to you. That means your preaching, your teaching, and your gifts are in vain. Because this lesson is so important, Paul repeated three times. Verse 2 is the second time. If I have the gifts of prophecy, if I can fathom all mystery, and if I have all knowledge, when I preach, when I prophesize. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have no love, I am nothing. Brother and sister, if you have the gifts of prophecy, you may think that you are somebody. When you can fathom all mystery, when you have all knowledge, when you preach, when you teach, when you have faith that can move mountain, you think you are somebody. But if you don't have love, you are nobody. You are nothing. This is an eye-opening. Without love, when you exercise your gifts, you are nobody. No one will listen to you. No, okay, I'm going to stop here too. When you read the Bible, you don't just read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When you read the Bible, you have to read right beside 13:2. You write down Matthew chapter 23. There's another way of teaching it, okay? Don't ever use this excuse, say, oh, I don't have to listen to him. Oh, he's nobody. I don't listen to him. Then your life will be destroyed. So, brother and sister, when you read the Bible, you have to ask God to give you humility and understand. Don't just read one portion of the scripture and hold on to it and ignore the other portion of the scripture. I show you the other portion of the scripture. Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Don't give an excuse to yourself, oh, that guy is a Pharisee. That guy is a teacher of the law. When he preached, when he teach, he didn't even do it. Don't say to your parents, my parents didn't even do that. I don't have to do it. Then you are a fool. And Jesus teaching to the crowd, not just to the disciple, and also to his disciple. First of all, Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciple. That means he teach to everyone who has ear, let him hear. The teacher of the law and the Pharisee sit in Moses' seat as long as he teach God's word. So you must obey them. You must listen to them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Wow, don't even use. Okay, I want you to write that down right beside 23, chapter Matthew chapter 23, verse 1 to 2, or verse 1 to 3. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Then you see both sides of the story. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, talking to the one who teach, talking to the Pharisee, talking to the teacher. But Matthew chapter 23, talking to the audience. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's no contradiction, right? So if you are wise, don't give excuse. You say, that guy, he didn't even do it. I don't have to do it. Then you make a fool of yourself. All right? You look at both sides of the story. Matthew chapter 23, talking to the audience. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking to the teacher. Talking to someone who teach other people. Talking to the parents. All right? Matthew chapter 23, talking to the children. All right? Does it make sense? I pray that God give you the wisdom to understand. Don't use one portion of the scripture to be against the other portion of the scripture. Don't use any kind of excuse not to listen. You say, oh, he's a sounding gong, clanking cymbal. I don't have to listen to that noise. No, that is the word of God. Okay? Because he sits at the seat of Moses. God is speaking to you. You don't listen. That means you are filled with the evil spirit. Because the evil spirit is at work in those who disobey. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Because this lesson is so important, especially to the leader, especially to the Christian who exercise their spiritual gifts. I think, you know, if I don't read the scripture, when you have the gifts of prophecy, you know, you can understand God's word, you know what's going to happen. You must think that you are somebody. And you can fathom all mystery. People don't know certain things, but you know. People have no knowledge of the word of God, but you have all knowledge. You must think that you are somebody until you read the scripture. If I have no love, I am nothing. Even though if you have the faith that can move mountains, if you have faith that can move mountains, you must think that you are somebody. But if you don't exercise your faith, exercise your spiritual gifts with love, you are nobody. Because this lesson is so important, he repeated 3 times in verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor, what kind of gift is that? If I give all I have to the poor, he has the gift of mercy, right? Take a look at Romans chapter 12:13, share with God's people who are in need. If you can share with God's people who are in need, you exercise your spiritual gifts of generosity. In verse 8, if you have the gifts of contributing to the needs of others, verse 8, let him give generously. But whereas in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor, and if I surrender my body to the flame, can have another translation called, I read that to you. If I surrender my body that I may boast, if you boast, according to chapter 13, verse 4, love does not boast. If you boast, that means you have no love. When you have no love, the Bible says, I gain nothing. You write beside, I gain nothing. You write down Proverbs 11:30. If you boast, that means you are foolish. Only the wise man can win soul. If you boast, you gain nobody. You cannot win his soul. Even though you exercise your gifts, give all you possess to the poor, you not only give generously, You give all you have so that you can boast. The moment you boast, you gain nothing. Wow. You know, brother and sister, if I were you, I don't just listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that 13 verses. That 13 verses will change your life, and they will affect whether you, your prayer, will be answered by God. You study it diligently, you read it, you memorize it, then you remind yourself, whenever you have spiritual gifts, it is very, very easy for you to be proud, to be boastful, boast in your strength, boast in your wisdom, boast in your wealth. Oh, I have all this money I can give. When you boast, that means you have no love. When you exercise the spiritual gift without love, you gain nothing. You cannot gain any soul. Brother and sister, we read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we learn that when we exercise the spiritual gifts, it's for the good of the whole church. Chapter 12, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. When God gives you the spiritual gifts, so hoping that you're going to exercise it, you exercise it with love, so that those who receive your gift will get benefit. If you want to be somebody, if you want to gain people's soul, if you want other people to listen to you, you have to exercise your spiritual gift with love. Now for your benefit, I want you to write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 13. Talk about the same thing as Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 talk about spiritual gifts too. And Romans chapter 12 talk about when you exercise your spiritual gifts, you exercise your spiritual gift with love. Same as 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But when I read 1 Corinthians, I don't see that teaching so clearly until when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then I go back to Romans. I find out this is the truth. There are various places talk about the spiritual gifts. Ephesians chapter 4 talk about spiritual gifts. And if I go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I find out it's the same kind of teaching. Whenever you exercise your spiritual gift, telling people the truth, you have to tell the people the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4 is equivalent to 1 Peter chapter 4. When you exercise your gifts in teaching, when you exercise your gifts in serving, whether it's teaching or serving, you have to exercise your gifts with suffering. Suffering means love. You follow the example of Jesus Christ. I say that one more time. Whenever you exercise your gifts, you have to exercise your gifts with love. Okay? Now, if love is so important, so Paul defined what is love. In 13, 4 to 8, it's not the complete definition of love. It's not the complete. It's only partial. Okay? So, you want to see more about love, then you have to go back to Romans chapter 12. You want to know more about love, you have to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Even though you read that four portions of the scripture, you don't even see the entire of love until you go to what? Gospel of John chapter 10. How Jesus Christ died for us. And then 15.
Okay? Unless you read the whole thing. But when you read the whole thing, you still only know in part. Because that's what Paul said. You don't see the whole thing yet. You know when do we see the whole thing? When we see Jesus Christ face to face. Then you see the whole thing. Well, that's good. I found out 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is so powerful. It will change your life. Brother and sister, do you want to bear fruit, a lot of fruit? You have to follow this manual, follow this instruction. If you don't follow it, your labor is in vain. People will not listen to you. You think that you are somebody, you are nothing. You think that you can gain soul? No, you don't gain soul, you gain nothing. Your ministry is not fruitful, brother and sister. Okay, let's take a look at the definition of love. You write that down. From verse 4 to verse 7 is not the whole definition of love. It's only a partial. Why? In verse 9. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, when Jesus Christ comes, the imperfection disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish way behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So in other words, verse 4 to verse 8 is only a partial definition of what love is all about. Take a look at the first definition. Love is patient. And then I want you to write that down. When you write, love is patient, you write down verse 7, love always perseveres. Do you know why Paul put patient at the beginning and then write persevere at the end? Because whatever you do, if you do it without patience, you didn't finish your work. Patience, what is patience? I want you to write that down. Chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. 13, 4 to 7, talk about spiritual fruit. 13, 1 to 3, talk about how do you exercise your spiritual gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And then the fourth one is patience. What does it mean by spiritual fruit? Spiritual fruit is you allow the Holy Spirit to change your life, to bear the fruit. Or I can also say, spiritual fruit is like a mature character of Jesus Christ. You are not a child. You are a man. You are mature. When you are a child, as long as you say something, oh, your parents are so happy. Oh. Honor him, say, ah, he's done a good job. You know, you do this, do that. As long as he can say something, even though it's not worthy to honor, you honor him. You know why? That means you are childish. When you are a child, you talk like a child, you thought like a child, you reason like a child. But when you become a man, you put away all these childish things. If your child say things that don't even use his brain when he is mature, I think you better watch out your children. Brother and sister, if we don't read the scripture, we think we are good. But when we read the scripture, you are nobody unless the Holy Spirit change your life. If the Holy Spirit did not change your life, your ministry is in vain. This is a mature teaching. It's not just listen to the sermon for 1 hour. You have to study yourself because that will affect your life. Okay? Now, go back. Do you remember 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16? What did Paul say? Watch out your life. What is your life? The mature character of Jesus Christ. That is your life. Watch out your life. Then watch out your doctrine. Doctrine is your teaching. You're teaching the truth. What is more important? Your life is more important than your teaching. They go hand in hand. But when you are young, you just say, oh, as long as I can teach with all knowledge, all prophecy, I have faith. Then you think you're all right, you're good to go. No, you're not good to go. You're not good to go. You know what? You say, well, how come he's not good to go? When I was young, my mother, my father say, I'm good. When you are young, he say he's good. He's encouraged you to grow. But you don't stay behind like a childish way. What a childish way. A childish way, I don't care how you feel. I don't care whether you listen or not. As long as I can say something, I feel happy. No, you don't feel happy about that. When you become mature, you want to make sure people listen to you. You know why? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. If you watch your life, be careful how you live your life. Let the Holy Spirit bear fruit in your life. Make sure that you have love in your life. When you have that, watch your doctrine. Watch your teaching. Don't just do it once. Persevere in doing it. Patient at the beginning, persevere at the end. Then you can save yourself and save those who hear you. I'm not kidding. You know, I found out that guy, when Paul writes, he's so filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only in one portion of the scripture I can understand, in another portion I understand why he's saying what he's saying. I'll give you another illustration. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 23 and 27. Paul said that in 23, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in this blessing. First of all, I get the blessing, and then you get the blessing. Because when people hear you, they get the blessing that you have. Verse 27, no, I beat my body. Write that down. Beat my body. The moment you beat your body and make your body my slave, you will allow the Holy Spirit to bear fruit in your life. Then your characters change. When your characters change, brother and sister, your ministry is fruitful. Your servant, remember by Jesus Christ. I say that one more time. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. That means I crucify my body. I follow Jesus. So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the price. If you serve God, at the end of the day, you get nothing. You are nothing. Come on, it is a waste of time. It is a waste of time. That labor is not labor in Jesus Christ. It's labor in your own flesh.
You write that down right beside 9:27. You write down 1 Corinthians 15:58. My dear brother, persevere. 1 Corinthians 15:58. My dear brother, stand firm. What do you mean by stand firm? Stand firm, that means do not fall. What does it mean by I fall? If you exercise your spiritual gift without love, you fall. You are nobody. You don't gain anyone. Nobody listens to you. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? Exercise your spiritual gift with the spiritual fruit. You have a mature character, like the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. When you carry your cross, your labor is not in vain. Otherwise, our labor is in vain. In vain means nobody listens to you. In vain means you think you are someone, you are nothing. You think you can gain soul, you don't gain soul. Now go back to this, to the spiritual fruit. Love is patient because God is patient. God is really, really, really patient with us. Even though we do wicked things, He did not discipline us right away. Why? Right beside patience, you write down chapter 2 of Romans. Chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness? God is not only kind to us, He showed the riches of His kindness to us. He showed tolerance. He showed patience to us. Don't you know that when He showed kindness to you, tolerance to you, and patience to you, don't you know that God kindness, God patience, God tolerance lead you towards repentance? So this is God's way of dealing with us. If we want to bear fruit, we have to follow God's way. There's no other way. Love is patient, and then love is kind. When you exercise these two gifts, spiritual fruit, then you allow God to work in the life of the audience. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. I want to circle the word is not proud. Remember in verse 3, someone willing to surrender his body to the frame. That translation is not that good. The proper translation is in the footnotes. Someone surrender his body that he may boast. Same as verse 3, someone give all he possess to the poor that he can boast. The moment you boast about that, all your work go down to join. I give you some illustration to see whether this teaching is in conformity with our Lord Jesus Christ teaching. Right beside boasting, you write down Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, the illustration Jesus gave is very popular. Everybody know about that. 18 verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, When you are confident of your own righteousness, that means you are seeking self-righteousness. You're not seeking the righteousness of God. And look down on everybody else. Look down on everybody else means he has no love. He boasts. He is proud. And he is rude. 13:5, 1 Corinthians, love is not rude. Later on, the NIV changed the translation. He don't say rude. What did he say? He say love does not dishonor others. Dishonor others. That Pharisee is self-righteous because he has confidence of his own righteousness. He think he done good enough in God's sight. So he looked down on everybody else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. Pray about himself, that means talk about what he has done. He's not praying to God. He's not seeking God's righteousness because he has already confidence on his own righteousness already. He thinks that in God's sight he's good enough. He said, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. That means he put down other people. He's rude. He dishonor other people. I'm not like other men. Other men means robber, evildoer, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. When he prayed, he looked at other people. He didn't look at him. He didn't look at God, okay? He looked at other people. He compared himself with other people. He's a proud man. Verse 12. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. So that's why Jesus say he talked about himself. He didn't praise God. He didn't say, God, thank you for giving me the money that I can give a tenth of all I have. Can you imagine? Someone only give a tenth of all he has is so proud already. Can you imagine? Paul go to another extreme saying that in 13:3, if I give all I possess, it's not a tenth, it's all. You can see how powerful he is. If I give all I possess to the poor, that I can boast. If I surrender my body, that I can boast. When you boast, the moment you boast, you have no love. And you gain nothing. You don't gain soul. People won't believe, especially you do that in front of a proud man. Two proud people come together, won't bear any fruit. I go back in verse 13, Luke chapter 18, 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. When he say that, have mercy on me, a sinner, he know that he has no confidence of his own righteousness. And besides, he didn't look at other men like the Pharisee. He lift up his eyes and looked to the heaven. He followed the teaching of King David. I looked up my eyes to the hill. I looked up to my eyes to heaven. Whose throne is in heaven? To our God. Where does my help come from? My help come from the maker of heaven and earth. Brother and sister, when you pray to God, you don't look around of what other people have done and what you have done.
When you pray to God, you put your confidence, not your own righteousness, on the righteousness of God. And then see what's the result. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, I tell you that this poor man, the tax collector, rather than the self-righteous Pharisee, when he ran home, justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Brother and sister, we exercise our gifts with patience, with kindness, not with envy. Don't do anything with envy. If you do it with envy, then you are not love. You don't have love. Don't do it with boast. It does not boast. You know, this sometimes, you know, this translation, the English one say it does not boast. You really have to have other scripture to help you to understand. Love does not boast. I want you to write that down. Love does not boast means you do not boast about yourself. But love, you boast. You boast about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31. As it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Also, love does not boast. So even in the Lord, I don't even boast. No, that's not what it really means. Love does not boast. You write that down. Luke chapter 18, do not boast about your own righteousness. That's what it really means. But Paul loved Jesus Christ. He acknowledged what Jesus Christ has done in his own life. So when he boasts in the Lord. That's the right thing to do. I also want you to write that down. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. This is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord tell you. If you want to boast, what should you boast? Let not the wise boast of his wisdom. Let not the strong boast of his strength. Let not the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this. You can boast. But boast about this, that you understand Jesus Christ, you know Jesus Christ, you know that I am the Lord, Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ exercised kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in this I delight. If you boast about the Lord is happy about that. Love does not boast. You have to understand what it really means by love does not boast. But the Chinese one is very clear. Chinese, what did the Chinese say? 愛是自夸. 你可以夸神, but 不自夸. You know what I mean? That is better translated. So if you understand Chinese, you understand English, then you have a better understanding of the scripture. You can look at things from different angles. But even though you understand, do not boast. It is God who let you see. The eyes that can see, the ear that can hear, they have one thing in common. The Lord is the one who makes your eyes that can see. The Lord is the one who makes your ear that can hear. Okay? When you boast, say, thank you, Lord, for helping me to understand. Now I understand. I want to do something about that. You help me to bear fruit, the spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. With this, I exercise the spiritual gift. My labor will not be in vain. And I will receive blessing when I see Jesus Christ face to face.
In verse 5, love is not rude. Love is do not dishonor other people like the Pharisee. No, don't do that. It is not self-seeking. When you tell people to follow you, it's not for self-seeking, for seeking the good of other people. That is love. A lot of salesmen, they sell stuff to you. They give you the bait, and then you're gonna tempted to follow him. I'll give you one illustration. Someone tell me that he bought a house, and the salesman tell him, call him, and lower the price for $40,000. I don't know if you really know, in 1985, 1986, the interest rate 21%. You can buy any house with $1 to assume the mortgage of other people. I don't hold the future. I don't boast about the future. I don't know about the future. Only Jesus Christ holds the future. But one thing I do know, when I bought the share of the oil stock, I forget the name of that share. At that time, it's 100 some odd dollars. Oh, when it dropped to $40, oh, I buy a lot. I thought I'm good to go. Do you know what happened? That stock worth zero at the end. When a salesman tells you the price dropped $40,000, doesn't mean it's a good time to buy. It means you better go back to God. Should I buy it? Should I not buy it? You understand? Salesmen are self-seeking. I don't know whether you know about that. I stay in New York. All the brothers and sisters, they buy houses at the peak. I tell them, well, I think you better sell it. Say, wow. He say to me, oh, if I sell it, where should I live? I say, when you sell it, you live in an apartment. And the house go down to half. And now still not going up. Thing won't go up all the time. The rich people, they control the market. They let it fluctuate. When you scare, you sell it, he buy it. When you want to buy, it's the high price. You have to humble yourself. Don't ever think you have the money you can afford to buy. Whatever the problem you're facing is because the decision you have made a few years ago. Remember that. There's always a consequences for every decision we make. Always a consequences. You humble yourself, you seek the Lord, you ask God. Don't just say, I do it, say, Lord, bless it. That is proud man. I make this kind of mistake. I thought it's a good price. You know, I don't give. Oh, now I remember the name of that stock. Dom Petroleum. Anyone, my brother Stephen, did you buy Dom Petroleum? Have you ever bought Dom Petroleum? You don't? You know what? At that time, the newspaper say, if Dom Petroleum go bankrupt, all the bank go bankrupt. You don't hear that? That means very sound and secure, right? Then you dump all the money in there, right? And then, boom, drop to $40. And it dropped to $40, right? And then you buy in, and then boom, $20. Boom, $10. Boom, $1. And then next day, zero, bankrupt. You remember I love to use the illustration for a money back guarantee, when you walk into the Sears store, right in front of the window, satisfaction guarantee and money back guarantee. In other words, when you purchase any product, you don't like it, next day or next month, you can turn back and give me the refund. You know what now? When you buy it now, no warranty, no refund, because this company go bankrupt. Don't put your trust in any company, in any man. When they die, when they bankrupt, you get nothing. Put your trust in God. Love is not rude, does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. It's not for your own good, but for the good of other people. Most of the time, salesman sell you things is for his own good, not for the good of you. It is not easily angered. That is love. Not easily angered. You write down 103:8. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, because the Lord is love, abounding in love. So if you're not slow to anger, if you're slow to anger, you're not easily angered, that means you follow Jesus Christ. You carry your own cross. Love keeps no record of wrong. Keep no record of wrong, that means someone sins against you, you just forget about that. That's love. You write that down. Job 42:10. When the Lord asked Job to pray for three of his friends, he loved three of his friends. He kept no record of wrong. When you show your love towards your brother and sister, the Lord say, I love you too. The moment Job has prayed for his three friends, that means he kept no record of wrong. The Lord make him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. You can keep on keeping the record of wrong of other people who wrong against you. And you write down Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 18. God say, you don't forgive other. You keep a record of wrong of the other people. I keep the record of wrong of you. I don't forgive you. Your life is still under the bondage, will not be prosperous and successful. When King David prayed to God, he said, oh God, oh Lord, save me. Oh Lord, grant me success. This is success. When you forgive other people, that is success. So, I want to stop here. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to understand this important teaching. It is very, very important to us. We not only want salvation from you and forgive all our sins. And I pray that you help us to forgive those who sin against us too. It's a must thing we have to do. No other choice. If we don't exercise that, our ministry will be ineffective and we cannot bear fruit. Hear my prayer and listen to my cry for mercy. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.